Are you ready to listen to my dad, Joe, and Uncle Justin talk about sports?
Now on with the show!
The Joe Mays and J-Raff Show is brought to you by Mays Sandwich Shop, which have been serving the greater Westlawn area delicious food for over 70 years. You are listening to the Joe Mays and J-Raff Show. A weekly podcast about sports since 2011. With a focus on football. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Mays and Justin Rafoff.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the Joe Mays and J-Raff Show. I am one of your hosts, Joe Mays, here for episode 399. My co-host, Justin Rafoff.
That's crazy, 399.
Yeah, 399. We're going to do 400 next week. I know I feel like we should have planned something big, but we have that on tap for either either later this summer or maybe in the fall.
Yeah.
We're going to reach out to someone that Justin and I look up to and love their work. I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to put it out there yet because there's no commitment there.
Right, right.
But we're going to have something coming in about 10 episodes of this show, which should put us sometime in either July or November, depending on how our NFL draft talk, NFL preview goes, vacations and things like that, or illnesses. When we all know you, Justin, you're sick all the time.
Yeah,
In and out of the hospitals. Wait, no, that's me. Thankfully, it hasn't disrupted this schedule at all, but we're good here. We're going to
priorities.
Right, exactly. We're going to play NCAA Football 14, Dynasty Year 5. We are 7-1, Justin, ranked fourth in the nation. We're going to play MTSU first here. I'm actually up first on offense, so I'm going to turn over the talk portion of it while I get up there to game. We're going to cover March Madness, both men's and women's, some early baseball talk. And kind of whatever else comes up. So if you have something you want us to talk about, you have a comment, leave it. Justin can see it here on the screen. You can also text me, and let's get on the way. So Justin, I'm going to head up and start gaming, and you can start on whichever topic you want to talk about first.
All right. So kind of in keeping with the theme of what has been going on kind of in the sports world, I think I'm going to start with the women's NCAA tournament.
Yeah, just finished.
Finished up just a little bit ago. But just a couple things. One, it has just been insane. I mean that in a good way.
Yeah,
right?
This is all but positive.
It's been insane how it has just exploded.
Honestly, it feels like out of nowhere.
And yes.
I don't know what the numbers were the last handful of years, last two or three years, but
right.
This year things have gone through the roof. Like, it's literally like the emoji, Justin, of the stock.
Yes.
Like, it just has skyrocketed.
Yes, exactly. So, it's kind of amazing. And it's awesome and it's great for the sport and it's all those things. And just the last few weeks, just kind of like shattering the record over and over again. And I'll be really interested to see because the matchup today for the championship in women's NCAA basketball Division I was South Carolina undefeated on the year.
37-0 entering.
Right. 37-0. Had only lost three games in the last 3 years, right? Going against Iowa, who has the best individual player in women's college basketball, So it's just a really fascinating kind of thing. And seeing how it's blown up, I think there's the potential today that it could be really big numbers again today. It's hard to say because there can be things going on a Sunday afternoon. For example, I was at my son's lacrosse game and stuff like that. But at the same time, having a game on a weekend at 3 o'clock, allows for some people to watch that won't watch like also, the like, men's game tomorrow younger, at 9:20.
Right. How about the younger generation? You know,
yes.
Young yes. athletes, young girls well, that want to
and,
play.
Right. And just like, okay, just like the cultural shift in this too. So they showed clips today. Cubs were in a rain delay. That was what they had on the jumbo scoreboard.
Yeah.
Like during the rain delay for the fans that were in the stadium to watch. You're like, it has come very far. And maybe it's just kind of like exponential growth, how it was growing a little bit, growing a little bit, growing a little bit.
They found the right mix.
Right. And between teams and star power and just all kinds of stuff, like it has just taken off and has been really exciting.
I guess. Justin, not to interrupt you.
No, that's fine.
That's my biggest question here is why now? What do you think is the biggest reason that this season and this March Madness tournament for the women is what has caused things to explode? Because I know a lot of people be like, well, think of the star players. Like, there's been star players in women's yes. basketball for decades, forever. You can just name them, you know, and
right.
some of them I don't like personally.
Right, right.
And one of them opened their big mouth again today already.
Right,
so,
right.
But
I think...
PLFL say, is it the team? Like, there's been great teams before in women's basketball. I'm trying to figure out, I'm not belittling.
No,
I'm just,
no.
I want to know yeah. like, what was the catalyst.
I don't know. I think it's a number of things. I think that... In my opinion, and this is just anecdotal, right? Like, just my opinion. I think a key piece is the star players, right? In a time where I don't know the reason or catalyst behind this part, but I feel like it's not common. Well, and again, this could just be the way I surround myself, but for all the wrong reasons. You know, think about when we were in high school, for example. Would you ever have gone to school, even though there were great teams back then, you know, Tennessee, all that stuff, you would have never gone to school and been like, oh my gosh, did you see that game yesterday?
Right.
Right. Last Tuesday, right? The women played on Monday, like the Iowa-UConn game and everything. No, sorry. Iowa and whoever they were playing.
Are you kidding me?
But whoever they were playing last week. And like the kids were talking about it on Tuesday at school.
So that kind of leads me to my thoughts, the juxtaposition of star players, which we've established.
I think that's a key.
They've been there before, but you have Caitlin Clark, you have Angel Reese, you have Paige Beckers. You have a great team, South Carolina, who you said only three losses in three seasons. Now it was at two national championships in the last 3 years.
Something like that, yeah. I know it's Carolina's. It might be Carolina's. South Carolina's third overall.
They're third overall, but I think it's two yeah. and 3 years.
Yes, I believe so.
So you have a great team. You have many star players, but then I think the biggest thing, and this is what a lot of people talk about in many industries and entertainment and athletics, is if you give something exposure
yes.
and the time of day, yes. more people are going to buy in.
Right, right.
And I know there'll be...
There's like a critical mass there, you know?
I know there will be dissenters, and they'll talk about that. Like, it hasn't really helped the WNBA yet, but maybe starting at the college level will help that, because now all these people, all these great student-athletes are moving on to that league.
Absolutely.
And you have people invested in those players.
You can see it already. And the staying power will be tested, absolutely. But you can see it already in that they have had to, look at the ticket increases for the away cities for where Detroit's WNBA team is going to be playing.
Right. It's crazy to see. Like, they've sold out of season tickets. They just had one of their opponents move to a new arena for
right.
their game because they're anticipating a sellout and they wanted more people to be able to watch.
Right. Which is all the right things. Like, put your stars on display, and women's college basketball has been doing that, and it's been awesome to watch. And I think you're right. Like, and kind of what I was trying to get at before was, like, again, not saying this was right, but like a lot of people thought of like women's basketball, or just as this example, they thought of it as like second rate basketball. You know what I mean? Like they didn't for whatever reason, weren't as entertained. And I think now people, again, based on what you kind of said, giving it exposure, like having people talk about it, having people like sit and watch it just because you have it on. You have to have it on in order for be able to for people to like get exposed to it. It's kind of hit this critical mass where it is now like it's growing. And yes, like it is going to be different when they go into the WNBA, like just because it's a different format, you know, and all that stuff. But like now you've got these people who are engaged with like players, right? And that's what they talk about the NBA, right? Now, I'm not saying the WNBA overnight is going to become like the NBA.
Basketball like, is an but, individualized but, sport in that way.
Right. It is an individual star-driven sport. And in order for that to happen, you need to keep an influx of individual stars. And that's the key. Like, Caitlin Clark is there, but there's other people that – there's other players that people know, you know? And, like, I know this is, like, gotten built up, and I don't mean this in a negative way. I'm just thinking from an entertainment value. Like, the best thing that could happen – I don't know who Detroit plays the most, right, in the WNBA – if Angel Reese ended up on that team, like right. just to continue, you know, like it, like again, Larry Bird at Indiana State playing against Michigan State and Magic Johnson, and then they go to the Lakers and Celtics.
Right.
Huge, you know, like,
huge. Yeah. Well, I saw, I mean, Caitlin Clark obviously is going number one overall.
Right.
But I saw Angel Reese was top 10. I saw somewhere like yeah. 5 to 7 range.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And again, I think Penn State beat Michigan. And again, none of these are like to be like, oh, you can't. Like you said, there are plenty of star women's basketball players in the WNBA. But like this is a chance too, as you're getting even more people like exposed to the game to fall in love with those players and like those, you know, so it's kind of one of those things where like, was it like rising tides raise all the boats or, you know, something like right, that. Yeah. Like it could be one of those things and that would be great for the game in general.
But you already have not to shift gears away from positive to the negatives. I mean, I see it as a negative. I see the stupid stuff that Diana Taurasi said today, warning Caitlin Clark and, you know, Angel Reese and Paige Beckers and like all the women coming out of this class into the draft, basically saying you're not ready for the WNBA. You can't handle us, basically. And I just want to. It just looks incredibly jealous. Like I think that Diana Taurasi is jealous of the attention that this group has gotten in college and that they're now talking about them in the WNBA. And she is basically saying, look at us. We're still here. We matter.
Right.
And I don't think she's understanding how good this is for the sport.
And
in
you
general.
Know when the time to do that is? The time to do that is after you beat Caitlin Clark's team the first time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like in your like post-game presser and you're just like, yeah, they're going to be great. You know, they're going to do all this stuff, but like...
Well, but that's, like, that's Diana Taurasi.
But we're still here kind of thing.
Worst person ever.
Joey loves UConn basketball.
Good Lord, I'm so glad Iowa won.
So anyway, to get to today's, yes, like the game has exploded and it's been awesome. South Carolina beat Iowa today. Iowa came out on absolute fire.
Yeah, they're up 10-0 or something like that.
Yeah, and 15-5 and 27-20 after one. And Caitlin Clark had 18 points in the first quarter. And South Carolina chipped away,
and
was
a run, right?
was up three at half. You know, like, and I was listening on the radio on the way to my son's lacrosse game, and they were just talking at the end of the first quarter about how calm Dawn Staley was. And to be honest, that's where my rooting interests were, right? Like, I love watching Caitlin Clark. Like, and I have nothing against Iowa women's basketball. I almost said Iowa, but I quickly corrected that. But Iowa women's basketball, like, they're awesome. So much fun to watch. Like, it's been great. But, like,
the better team won.
Dawn Staley and her affinity for Philadelphia.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. Her affinity for Philadelphia, like sports teams and stuff. Like, I like that.
She's another person that I have, feel like I have a love-hate relationship with.
I get that.
On a variety of things.
I get that.
Said and done. I do appreciate her Philly roots and her passion for the city.
Right, right.
But I think South Carolina was the better team. The better team won today. Right.
They won every game this year. You know, like, including they beat LSU multiple times. They, you know, like, they really got it done. You know, it's got to be tough because, you know, you come out against the best player and she is like lighting up your team early on and you just chip away, chip away, chip away. And then you get it done in the long run.
Oh, that was a bad series by me. Women's college basketball, March Madness had a great run, great season, all season long. Excellent storylines. Caitlin Clark was mostly the feature just because of all the records she was setting. But honestly, there's a lot of people, and I saw across social media say that the women's tournament was more interesting than the men's this year.
Yeah.
I don't know that I disagree. I actually probably myself watched more of the women's tournament than I did the men's, especially if you discount Marquette. You know, like, I'm watching the Marquette games, but like, we have a personal interest. We want to see Stevie Mitchell do well. So if you take away the Marquette viewing, I definitely watch way more women's college basketball than men's in March, in the March Madness tournaments. Like, not even close.
Yeah, I see, what gets me is I end up watching so much of the wrestling that first weekend.
That's true. I watched all wrestling that first weekend. Right. So,
and my bracket wasn't any good, even though my champion is still in it.
So is mine.
Right. I did check.
We do gotta update that for
the show. Basically, what's going to happen is if UConn wins, Jameson, I believe, wins it.
Yeah. So I'm really bad right now. Yeah. So why don't I go over that? We'll update. I will update our bracket challenge. I'm going to use my phone here.
Yeah. I checked it.
Yeah, the nice thing is they have a calculator.
It has
the
forecasting thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. So
I believe it's 100% either way now. Like, it's an either or.
Right. So
it's just down to the one game, so it knows exactly.
So
what
the
will
current
happen.
Standing in terms of total points is my cousin's son Jameson leads by a lot. Brandon Doms is in second. Kyle Esterly is in third. Adam Filer's son Matt is in fourth. There is someone in fifth, tied with Anthony Ciotto, that I'm not sure who it is.
Do you know the username? Is it just a random ESPN
one? Well, the name is Jay Fields. So unless Justin Fields joined our bracket challenge, I'm not sure who that is. My dad is in seventh. Natalie's in eighth. Looks like Sharon High in ninth. Jamie's actually in 10th, but she had Duke. And her other bracket is in 11th with Purdue. But now the total points remaining, the maximum allowed, shifts things to that. It's going to be either Jameson or Brandon Doms that wins. If UConn wins, Jameson wins. If Purdue wins, Brandon Doms will win. So one of those two people will be our guest on the show next. And I know Jameson is super excited to come on, so he is pulling hard for UConn.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be cool. I picked UConn to win.
So did I.
I'd be fine with either. Are you pulling for Purdue? Like,
I've
been wondering about this, about are there any ties that you have? I know in most things, at most times, it's probably not there. But like in this one instance, especially because it's UConn, I know it's not UConn women's basketball,
right? They're
which
not
is a whole
bad
different
as
animal.
UConn women.
Right.
I still do not cheer for UConn for anything.
Right.
I do not like Connecticut.
The state.
The state in general. No, the UConn, I cannot get behind UConn with anything. So, and with my connection to Purdue through Kelly, you know, I worked at Purdue for 2 years while Kelly got her master's degree.
We had great wiffle ball games.
Friends and family, but I had a great time out there.
I spent a great long weekend at Purdue once.
I love it. I'm definitely pulling for Purdue. They've never won, I believe, or it's been a long time since they've won.
I think it's been Right. Like this, which is like their third, which is crazy because they're one of those schools that, like, when I think Purdue, like if you tell me Purdue and I have to name a sport, I'm naming basketball.
Right.
Like I'm naming basketball because to me, well, I mean, there was that stretch there, like when we were in high school and in college, where they had like some big name like quarterbacks. But outside of that small stretch, to me, football has been kind of take it or leave it, right?
Right, yeah.
But basketball, I think of them with basketball.
Right.
Like, and that might be because they're literally in Indiana, like, and right. that's
yep. the
basketball no,
I
central.
Completely agree. But, and the 2 years that we lived out there, they were supposed to be really good, and I think they choked both years that Kelly and I were.
Well, that's, I know they haven't been to the Final Four in a long, long, long time. So it was huge for them to get there.
Oh, come on. Man, this is not my... So I guess you're going to start. They're going to get the ball anyways.
But anyway, so yeah, it wasn't
rooting
sure.
interest-wise, I am pulling for Purdue.
Okay. How much of that game are you going to watch, bud?
Zero, because it starts at like 9:20 at night, which I guess can lead us to another topic that we've already sort of discussed.
Why?
Why? Like the women's tournament ended today. The game started at 3, probably 3:06 or something like that. That's great. They have no problem putting the women's tournament on at noon on the West Coast. Zero issue with that, apparently. But for some reason, we have to cater to California.
When USC is actually good in women's basketball, and they have another, keep just to go back real quick, they've got maybe the next big star in I forget her last name, but Juju is her first name?
Right.
Well, or her.
Is it Fulton or? No, not Fulton.
I thought it was Watkins.
Watkins, yeah, that's it.
But like, so that's like the next, she broke the freshman scoring record, you know? So like, she's the next big one in theory. So anyway, like, yeah. So like, there are legit West Coast, like implications there.
Right. But I don't understand these media executives, these fat cat people sitting there being, you know what? We should put the biggest men's college basketball game on the year. We should have it start at basically 9:30 on a work night, on a weeknight, a Monday night. I mean, college football is honestly not that much better. When did the national championship kick off? 8:30?
Probably 8:30. And the game's a lot longer.
There is absolutely zero reason these games should be starting past 8 p.m. Eastern. There is no, like, I would push, like, if some executive would be like, you know what, this is what the numbers said 50 years ago, because someone pointed, when I tweeted something
right,
like this,
right,
someone was like, not even something you have to get used to, it's been happening that way for over 40 years. My question is, why? Why right. is it happening that
right.
way?
I would question, I would
it
say,
makes no sense.
40 years ago was probably a bigger deal than it is now.
It makes zero sense.
Right. Yeah. And like I said to you earlier, like, I don't like, but I understand more the 8:30 start time. I am excited that like the Sunday night and like Monday night football games tend to kick off closer to like 8:15 ish now, it seems like. Or 8:20, you know, like I like that more.
There is just no excuse for it to be 9:20. Like
no.
I
and that's the thing. So like I you and I said 8 o'clock is the latest we think it should start. I can understand yet disagree with 8:30. 9:20 is absurd. 9:20 is absurd. I want to see the difference between how many more viewers are they going to get at 9:20 than they would get at 8:30. And then you have to subtract the number of people like you and me that
halftime.
Are probably not going to watch now.
Right. Well,
like I said, I will probably maybe it depends on how it's going with putting the kids to bed. But also that like. My kids can't watch. Well, Colton would have no interest in watching it right now. But like Austin would
right.
absolutely want to watch.
Castrating yourself of any youth.
He is not
the game.
Watching. It is the exact opposite, kind of what. Well, baseball does it with the World Series; they're all at night.
Yeah.
But then, and stupid. I hate this though because they put other playoff games, especially the wild card games, where you get teams that haven't made it in forever, and they'll put the game at like noon when the
right.
kids are at school
right.
and can't watch it either. Like. Wait, so you mean to tell me that the NCAA and Major League Baseball...
don't know what they're doing?
Right.
What a shocker. What a shocker. I honestly, I would love to talk to someone that has has legitimate reasoning behind it. Because I said to you, there is no way it would, or I should say, it would be tough to convince me that you're getting more people watching on the West Coast because of starting it late than you are losing on the East Coast because you're starting it so late.
Right.
Right. I feel like you move it to 8 o'clock, your game, especially like you said, college basketball is shorter than a college football or an NFL game.
Yeah. Like I just don't.
If you started at 8, it's done at a reasonable time.
Right. It would be done. It would be done at like 10, 10:15. It would be done. Over with. It's not gonna be, it's gonna be halftime.
It makes no sense. Like
no, I just don't get it. This is my, this is a hill I'm willing to die on.
Like, oh, yeah, me too. Like, because you hear about, East Coast bias. Only people care about the East Coast. Literally, what decisions are being made for the East Coast when it comes to sports programming?
Oh, and by the way, no team west of, like, Texas has won the national
Arizona
championship.
Arizona in 97.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
It's ridiculous. I just don't get it at all. And you know, I said to you, as much as these, you know, these broadcast companies, all these things are for profit. Everyone talks about how greedy they are. You're telling me that this is the way they get more money? By putting it on late when their viewership number is going to crater?
Right. Right.
The games, you're setting records in women's basketball. How many of those games started at 9:20?
None. Well, like, at least of the big ones here at the end.
Of the big ones here at the end. Right, now, no. I know the opening round is different because you have so many options. You have to cover all the broadcast windows.
Right, right.
This is the national championship game. Why is it not starting at 8 o'clock?
And separate point, and this goes for all of them, and we've talked about this a million times. Why is it on a Monday night?
Right.
Like, oh my gosh. I can't stand that.
The college football game, too. Somehow I'm not down yet. College football national championship shouldn't be starting at 8:48 or 8:42 or something on a Monday.
You play your games on weekends all season. Like, I'm a full proponent, and I know that this does not apply to everyone equally. I'm a full proponent of the holiday after the Super Bowl. My natural instinct for that is the Super Bowl should be played on President's Day weekend.
Right.
You know, not to make a new holiday, but to...
Well, I mean, we're essentially going to get there as soon as they add another.
Yes. To make the most of a situation we already have. I would just love that. That would be awesome.
Right.
In my opinion. But imagine if, like, instead the NFL was like, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to move the Super Bowl to Monday night. Like,
right. Right.
People would be like, that's the dumbest thing ever. Yes. Yes, it is. To play the biggest game of your season on a Monday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is pretty stupid.
Brilliant.
And we're going to start it at 9:30 at night.
9:30 on Monday. Yeah, I.
We are old men yelling at clouds.
Oh, I know. I know. We sound. Oh my gosh.
Right.
So the second time this game, they stuffed me on fourth and short at the goal line. I know there are plenty.
You're breaking out all the Penn State fourth 2-point conversion plays on you.
Apparently, I am. Yeah, this is like you said. This is the mountain for us that we're climbing. We're willing to die on this. It makes no sense at all to cater to these people on the West Coast. And I'll continue to rip them. I don't care. You hear all the time about how there's so much to do on the West Coast. That's why the LA teams have they struggle to get a following and all this stuff. And yet we still make broadcast decisions based on them. You know, and what I want to say, and I say this all the time when people complain about something, just like we're doing. They have to have a reason. There must be something telling them.
And that's where I go. That's where I really fall to. I'm like, I must be missing something.
Right.
There's like, I must be missing something.
Because like I said, all of this is about money. They want to sell advertising. They need to have the numbers to do it. It's hard for me to wrap my head around that they could possibly be getting a bigger number by starting things later when the majority of your sports-loving country lives on the East Coast.
Well, like, and I feel like...
East Central.
It's hard to get the specific numbers on this, but I know they're out there. Like, I want to see...
Like, by city breakdown?
Right. I want to see, by city, what the viewership is for tomorrow night's game. Now, again, people are like, well, yeah, but the two teams are in East. Yes. That's part of the point. Look at the distribution of Division I basketball teams.
They're
almost all in the eastern third of the country.
Hey, guess what? Every single sports league at every single level 75% of the teams are east of the Mississippi.
Right.
You could pull up any map. You ever see the NFL map of the team logos of what the home place is, in case you haven't figured it out?
Right. Once you get to the Mississippi River.
Oh, gosh. I don't know what happened.
Okay. Once you get to the Mississippi River, like, there's a line of, or a few spots of population until you get to the actual West Coast. You know, like, there's nothing out there. Oh, gosh, they're just running through.
Now that we're done with our old man yelling at clouds discussion, I guess we can move on to
a different one.
Another rant. But I feel like a lot of people are, honestly, they're not, though. Like, maybe the people listening to us, there's a few people watching live, but I pulled up a post on Instagram of them talking about the arm injuries suffered by pitchers, and Tony Clark and the brilliant people at the Major League Baseball Players Union are blaming it completely and solely on the pitch clock. They are begging Major League Baseball to examine this, and they want to get rid of the rule because it's hurting the players, and that's the most important thing. I call complete utter BS on this 100%. And this is coming from a union, so like, take it with a grain of salt. The dumbest people lead these groups. I don't know how these people get elected, but like, it's the absurdity of Tony Clark and the MLB Players Union to say something like this, just because, God forbid, the MLB changed the game that they know and love to make it better for the fan who's making it all possible. And we already had a bunch of people. I mean, just on the Phillies broadcast alone, them talking about how
basically and the pregame, crap. Right? Complete, like, crap. Batalico, and it was mostly Ben Davis, who's a catcher,
both, a pitcher and a catcher,
right?
Oh,
right.
And then Ruben Amaro, who has some time in Major League Baseball, both as a player and an executive,
right?
He basically called it crap.
Well, and what I went to, I wholeheartedly agree with Ben Davis, and I feel like most people would, And I said this to you in our conversation about it too, was I get upset because I think it's a legitimate thing for the union to be like, hey, we're seeing a drastic upswing in like serious arm injuries. We would like to know what
can we study multiple
components? Like, what can we do to try and figure this out so that we can avoid some of these? That is, I think,
a coherent message.
Perfectly. And people want, like, guess what? Like, to kind of like steal a book from football, like, and I'm guilty of this. Like, you know, people complain about the rules about quarterbacks. They can't be touched, all that stuff. But guess what? That's because the NFL knows they need quarterbacks, right? Quarterbacks drive the league.
Oh, and guess what? All those people saying I won't watch because it's turning into touch football.
They watch.
Right. Complete all BS, right, as well.
Right. As noted by the numbers, which we referred to multiple times.
Which just went through the roof. There was, right, the best season in the NFL, right, since, what, 2015 or something, yeah, like that.
So when I go to this, I'm like, you're actually, in my opinion, you're doing more harm than good, because now the attention that should be spent trying to actually root out this problem, which, again, I feel like most people would agree, yes, like, having so many star pitchers have arm problems is a major issue. Like, that's a problem. Like, people aren't going to disagree with that.
But let's blaming the wrong place, right, at least you, right, think.
Like, it went to, I feel like, most the people who are most vocal. I feel like lots of baseball players weren't fans of the pitch clock and stuff, and I can get that, because it does change it a lot. And when you've grown up playing a game one way forever, and now it's fundamentally, there's a huge fundamental change in how that game's played. I get that that's different, and you don't have to like it. Like, that's okay. But
just because we've always,
right,
done,
but
it,
I feel like this is, like,
doesn't mean it's the best way to do it.
Right. And just because the pitchers, I feel like, were the most vocal against this, they don't like it. Most of them do not like it and are very vocal about not liking it. I feel like that's why this has mostly become a, Well then
please don't take a minute to throw a pitch.
Then this is why. Right. Exactly. And oh man, it's just frustrating on lots of levels. And like you said, if you're going to come out and say that, then again, you better have some evidence that shows throwing a pitch every 18 seconds is more damaging to the arm than throwing a pitch every 35 seconds.
Right, yeah,
and if you did, guess what? People are going to be like, oh man, you know what I mean? And they would probably, if that was true, right, they would probably take this out in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? They would take it, or they maybe not take it. They would modify this in a heartbeat.
They would add time.
But I go back to what Ben Davis said, and you can see it in the game. And the veteran players, because I heard a lot, and they were talking about this in the thing today, about what did veteran pitchers do that they don't do now and stuff. And we've had this debate of like, how would Babe Ruth do today when you've got four guys coming out of the bullpen for the 7th, 8th, and 9th in some combination, all throwing 99+.
Right.
Right? Well, that wasn't the case 100 years ago.
Even 50 years ago.
Right.
It's almost like the harder you throw something, the more torque
that you put on your body. And these guys are throwing, and they said, this is part of it. Like, there's no like, oh, starters, maybe they're of the mindset, but in reality, everyone knows.
Not good for this to be fluctuating in and out. What is happening? Okay, we back? We good? All right.
it's not where you want to be. To just be like, we don't like it, so therefore this is the bad thing.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, like, let's find what's really happening here. You've got pitchers who are just throwing as hard as they possibly can every pitch, and the torque on their arm.
Yeah, it's not a.
Is it not working on the TV? Because it's showing up here on the screen. Yeah, you're on the screen.
Maybe I can come back there. Let me see.
Delay a game. No, I'm kidding. Kidding. I'm just kidding.
It's not flickering back here, is it?
No, it's been steady the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what happened when I said, oh my gosh. Okay, like, it was in the middle of a play, and like, I didn't know what was going on.
Okay, because that wasn't happening. Let me see if I can.
Oh, I was joking.
Okay, let me get this set up here.
But yeah, so like, yes, and it's frustrating on lots of different levels. And I was not a fan of them putting in the rules, the pitch clock rule. I have appreciated and have grown to like the pace of the game. I wish there was a way to have done it without having an artificial clock. Well, not artificial, I guess, an actual clock there to like speed it up in some unknown or in some new manner. But hey, they had tried other things like don't step out of the box, don't do this stuff, and that's what they were just doing. But oh gosh, kicking from here. Never a doubt.
Never a doubt. I wasn't about to pee myself there for anything.
You know, yeah, so it's just not great. And again, I think it detracts from actually solving the issue.
Right. I don't know if you want to try up there or not. If it was fluctuating in and out, you might have to just look at the screen back here. So my problem is not to dismiss that it's not a possibility. Is it a possibility?
Oh.
Possibly. Do I think it's probably minor? Yeah, I think it's probably minor. Because I don't think it's the 5, 10, 15 seconds that maybe you're cutting off in a pitcher's quick, small recovery is nothing compared to them trying to throw the ball 100 miles per hour over and over again.
And right. So let's look at one of the biggest examples right now, Strider, right? Strider got hurt, and it is one of those situations where it's awful. He's the ace on one of the best teams in baseball. You know, so he's one of the best players on one of the best teams. You don't want him out, and he's on 15-day DL, but it could be long-term, right?
Right.
And that would be awful. But like, let's tap the brakes for a second. This dude throws 99 miles per hour regularly as a starter. We're not, you know, it used to be crazy when a closer came in and touched 100. Well, and now you've got starters doing it all the time.
Was it about 10-ish, give or take, years ago when Aroldis Chapman came into the league and he was hitting 100 and people were losing their minds?
Right, right.
We see it all the time.
We see it all the time from starters who are doing it for 5-6 innings, right? Also, again, look, I am not a Strider fan. I'd be the first one down there yelling, chanting his name, like, we're in your head, all that stuff. What? But I would never.
Strider's banned because he plays for the Braves. 100%.
100%.
Just like 7 years
ago. I feel awful for him.
Bryce Harper. Right. Bryce Harper is evil.
I feel awful for Strider in that he might be going for his second Tommy John surgery now.
And miss all of this year and probably at least half of next year.
Right. Like, as much as I dislike the Braves, I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
I wouldn't wish that on anyone. It's awful.
Right. And so
someone's career, someone's livelihood, someone's passion, like,
right.
Don't ever cheer for injuries.
Right.
Doesn't matter if it's a guy you hate.
Right. Strider's perfect example of you don't like him because he doesn't play for your team.
Yes.
100%. Like, yes. If you're telling me I could have him. Yes. Sign me up. Oh, my gosh.
No, but it just,
I mean, I'd be okay if he has to be out, if the Braves implode, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. But I don't want any. I don't wish an injury on anyone.
No.
Especially something like that. Like, that is a debilitating, career-changing, career-threatening injury. And I know the modern version of it has gotten very good.
Oh, yeah.
It's still invasive. It's still a long recovery. I mean, we went through it right now, you know, with Painter. You know, we thought he was going to be a part of the rotation last year. Now he won't even be a part of the rotation probably this year. So,
yeah.
As talking as Phillies fans. But I just think the way Tony Clark and their PR group decided to attack this thing was absurd.
Well, it's really interesting. I guess, and he'll probably get in trouble for this. And there were some of the things in here I agreed with more than others. But I guess the Angels broadcaster, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, just went on a rant ripping Major League Baseball for just a variety of things. Oh, no. All right. From the A's fiasco, which I saw the latest thing there was that the A's and the city of Oakland were like $35 million off. Like, that's it. In the grand scheme of like this whole thing, that is a drop in the bucket. And yet Manfred has allowed this to become just an absolute disaster on all parties, where you have the mayor of Las Vegas saying a few months ago, maybe it's best if you don't come here. Right. Now, and I don't know that that's the best thing for the mayor to be saying either. You know, like, I don't, not that they're blame free here, but like, just looking at things like, oh my gosh, what is possibly going on? Then you get possibly your biggest international star is in this, like, what's going on gambling scandal. Yeah. You have like the rift with the union over this, and again, not that that's Manfred's fault, you know, but like,
we are not an apologist for this guy, right, or most of the MLB owners,
right,
but the players union here is
right
is an interesting situation,
right? That's what Tony Clark should have been like, look, you're gonna let his argument would be stronger, even if it's not still not a good one, his argument would be stronger if he had been like, you're going to let the guy who is leading this A's stuff be the one who is going to, decide whether we should, you know, have a pitch clock or not. Like, people like me, right. I'm joking here, but people like me, but yeah, you tell him, Tony.
So I'm going to call an audible here just because of the issues you're having. We're running a little late. I don't want to start a whole nother game. So we're just going to finish up our discussion over the next 15 minutes. We'll have to make up the game at some point. We'll see where it goes from here. But we squeaked out a win. That wasn't pretty, especially by me. That was kind of ugly. But we were in very heated arguments and discussions about a variety of things. And look, I very rarely agree with union stances on pretty much anything.
Right, right.
Across any league. The baseball players union one riles me up because of how strong they are. Like, they're a very strong union.
Right.
Which look at how many work stoppages we've had.
Right.
And issues we've had over the years. And it's because they are so strong. But I mean, I call all the time the stupidity of the NFL players unions because
right. Now, now here's one that I meant to ask you about last week. Well, not last week, but last show. What are your thoughts? And this is shifting gears here, but just from like the reaction of things of the banning of the hip drop tackle. I truly mean this from a, like, I'm not, I don't mean that like leading. I don't like it because I feel like there's so many instances where I don't know what you expect them to do.
This is a layered response. On the surface, I'm fine with it.
Okay.
I want, because like, and the players like to say this in union, you don't have a league without the players. They're the most important part.
Absolutely.
Like, I get that. Right. I understand that aspect. You have to have the players. It's why people get mad about, you know, we'll just make them wear skirts, quarterbacks in terms like, but it's a quarterback driven league. You want the league to survive. You need to have good quarterbacks. I mean, this year they talked about how many quarterbacks were hurt and it was hurting. They thought it was hurting things. I mean, the ratings were still through the roof, but football is kind of a separate entity. I think the way it's gotten in this country is just blown up. I mean, we have talking 12 years ago, you and I had a show because Mark Cuban was like about the pigs get slaughtered, like the NFL is being greedy and it's oversaturating the market.
I like Mark Cuban.
Yeah,
like he was awful on that one.
He did not get that one right. So I'm for the hip drop tackle ban. On the surface, the application is where I question if they're going to be able to do it. Mostly because, and like I said, I do not like unions. I do not like the players' unions in sports. I don't think they're actually out there. Well, this is unions. They're not out there for the good of everyone. They're out there for the good of a select group, whether it's the top tier that you see in like sports or whether it's the lower tier as you see in trades across the country. The whole point of me saying that is the reason I don't trust the hip drop tackle ban is because the NFL is not getting out of its own way to ensure proper oversight of it by their officials,
right?
And if like, and I generally take the side of the owners and the big shield, like Mike Florio likes to call them. But the officiating thing is one thing that I blame the NFL on for everything. They have a way to make this better, both with the people and the technology, and they are dragging their feet for whatever reason. I know everyone wants to just immediately say it's money and greed. Maybe behind the scenes they're actually doing a ton of research. I don't know. But I fault the NFL for the issues with the officiating and the lack of technology in ensuring the game is operating at the top tier. That is all on the NFL. And while I want the hip drop tackle to be banned, I just question whether the NFL is going to have a way to ensure it's.
So I saw something that said they feel like it will be. They feel like it is destined to be more policed by fines than it is by flags. And part of me is like, okay, but this is the fan in me. Good. Right? Like good. Because I don't want my team getting or my rooting interest. It could be the team that's playing against Dallas. You know, like, but I don't want the team I am rooting for to be hurt from a hip drop tackle when it's like, well, the alternative was letting him score a touchdown or running. Like at the same time, I'm like, as just like, if I take a step back, I'm like, I don't know about that. Like in the grand scheme of things, like you're affecting someone's like paycheck at that point. And we saw this already this year sometimes where like sometimes these fines were coming out for guys in hits and you're like, I don't, like sometimes it is wholly justified, you know, like absolutely. And other times you see and you're like, you'll get the thing like this undrafted free agent making league minimum got fined $30,000 for this. And you're like, I don't even know what he did wrong. You know, like, and that's where I'm like, what is going on? And that's, I'm afraid that's bound to find its way into this issue as well. I think you stated it really well. Like the protection of the players, it gets frustrating, but I'm also for not watching a bunch of the backups have to fill in because they got injured on a play.
Here is my favorite discussion points as it comes up to the NFL players, the union, health and safety. So that we had players upset about all the changes to defenseless receivers, helmet contact, quarterback stuff. The players were against all of this. The horse collar tackle, the players against all this. It was just written up by, you know, the man I love to hate, Mike Florio, mm-hmm. talking about how players don't care about safety.
No, especially in, and I feel like Ross talks about that a lot. Like as a player in the game, you don't care about that. Right.
But then they like to make all this noise about playing surfaces. So, like,
I thought you were going to bring up about how the league, after they retire, then they talk about how they weren't protected enough in the league. Well, I feel like that more centralized around one issue, which is there were lots of other issues around that too.
That's the concussion stuff is a bigger quantity. I mean, I do go saying you were playing a contact sport.
Right.
Like, you knew what you were getting yourself into.
Right.
And it's not like I don't feel bad about that, but there are literally tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people that want to be in your shoe doing those things, making those decisions. Is it terrible that that has happened to people? Yes. It's not limited to just sports, though.
Right.
It's all across. Head injuries, traumatic brain injuries, that's a problem. And you're voluntarily doing these things.
Yes.
Don't tell me you didn't know
that
you could possibly get injured in this career path. Now, you want to talk about compensation? Like, that's a whole different – I don't want to get into that. We're not qualified to talk about any of that stuff. That's a whole nother
And, like,
thing,
who but, knew what, when? Like, that gets – that. But those are other issues. Right, those are separate issues.
Yeah, I'm moving away from that. My thing is you are staunchly opposed to all these things that the NFL is trying to do to make safety a priority, including now for the last, 10, 12 years, a heightened sense of awareness of concussions and traumatic brain injuries. We have people pushing back on guardian caps because I don't like the way it looks. Guess what? I hate the way it looks. I'm glad that you're wearing them in practice. You start wearing them in games, I think people are going to have a problem with it. But again, where do you draw the line when it comes to player safety? But the field thing is the thing that I laugh about. Like, it is hilarious to me that the players like to get up on a pedestal and talk about how they want to play on grass, whereas, 7, 8, maybe it was even a decade ago, people were ridiculing the NFL for having grass at places like Pittsburgh and whatnot because the field conditions were terrible. Guess what? That's going to continue if you move all the stadiums to grass. And then people are going to be complaining about the field conditions. We can't play in this. How do you want us to play a football game in this? Like, they talk out of both sides of their mouths. That's what pisses me off all the time. But also, you know, if you want to do an independent study, which, guess what? If it's the NFL doing it, it's not wholly independent. If it's the players' union doing it, it's not wholly independent. So how about you two come together and actually create a fully independent evaluation of injuries on turf and grass? Because the NFL says they have data that is, like, minuscule, the differences in – now, maybe it's the different type of injuries, but the totality of injuries – is essentially negligible, the difference between the two surfaces. Also, why is most colleges and especially all high schools going to synthetic turf fields? Why? Because of money, because it saves them money. So are you going to go around and say that we don't care about our high school athletes' health because we're putting in synthetic turf fields everywhere? No, because there isn't a specific causation of injuries to turf versus grass. And as everyone knows, it's much harder to upkeep grass than it is turf.
Right.
So
yeah, because we've come a long way from, like, the turf. When remember, like, the games that got, like, canceled at the vet because, like, there was, like, the seam was cement. There. right. Like,
they're so much better and nicer now. But all of a sudden now, I don't know what the catalyst was. I know everyone's pointing to the Aaron Rodgers thing this year.
Right. Because that was the biggest and latest.
And
at the one that notoriously finds itself in the middle of a lot of these injuries.
Well, I mean, hey, at the same time,
Again, this could be my biases coming through. It does seem to me like there are a lot of injuries at Giant Stadium or at MetLife Stadium. However, there are twice as many games there. So I haven't looked closely enough to be like, oh, is there about twice as many injuries there? Well, that would maybe make sense. Because there's literally twice as many games there.
The Super Bowl was played on grass, correct?
It was.
Drake Greenlaw, what happened to him?
Oh, yeah, it was grass because it's one of those that rolls it in and out in Vegas. Yep.
He tore his Achilles walking onto the field.
And again, not the reason they lost, but it was a problem. Like 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, or two Super Bowls ago, the grass field was a hot mess.
And people complained about it, and they thought it was unfair. Now, both teams played on the same grass.
Absolutely.
And the style of play could dictate that it affected one team more than the other. These are, again, all things that we can talk about.
But from a standpoint of it was grass, it was not ideal. You know,
my point is, I think, one, you can't say, I don't want these player safety initiatives banned. I don't want these to happen, but I need you to play on grass field.
Right.
Because as soon as that changed, like if the NFL would be like, yeah, we're playing on all grass, within 3 years, you would have people complaining that these grass fields are not good enough.
Right. And when if we go back to the like hip drop tackle thing, like again, if you're like, again, if you base your concern around, well, and I know this doesn't happen, but like, well, you know, so-and-so has incentives based around tackle rates or broken tackle rates, and this is going to distort. Okay. Like, I feel like that is one of those things where I'm like, again, like you're making specific points then. And I tell people this all the time. If you come to me with a specific question, I can give you a specific answer,
right,
as opposed to the generalizations, which tend to lead us down a path we don't need to go down, because there's a lot of dead ends there. And that covers a lot of those conversations we had tonight about like rule changes and things like that.
Yeah. I think just in summation, you need to have a,
because just to go full circle, I do not like Manfred. I think he has done more harm to the game than good.
I agree.
However, unless I see data indicating otherwise, like we said, it could be out there. I haven't seen or honestly seen anything hinted to it. I think that the pace of game adjustments has been one of the biggest successes since Bud Selig allowed the home run race on steroids, which then he messed up by punishing the other way, and like his reaction when he knew exactly what was going on and didn't care.
Wasn't last year the like most watched MLB season in like a long time?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
Right. What they need to do, and this is for both those leagues that we just talked about, they need to find a way productively and honestly together, leagues, unions, all of them together. They are both right. The league is better when the star players are healthy and playing. How can we make this actually happen? And let's get to the root causes of these issues and do the best we can. There's not going to be a perfect solution. Hip drop tackle, not going to be a perfect solution. Pace of play, not a perfect solution. What can we do that is best, that protects the most players and the product?
Can we compromise and come up with a moderate solution that involves both parties that are going to both still be unhappy? Because that's what happens when you compromise.
And this is us being ridiculous. No. Where I will not compromise is on 9:20 start times.
Right, absolutely. Those need to be. Hey, baseball, and maybe this is just Phillies related. The Phillies moved their start time up. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
I think it was from 7. I think they experimented a little bit a couple years ago. Right. They do a lot of 6:40 starts
now. So now that it starts at 6:40, and you have the pace of play improvements, guess what?
Right.
My daughter can watch the entire game. And guess what? She is my wife. The baseball has converted my wife into a sports fan. She watched every single spring training game she could watch because she enjoys the Phillies. Not baseball, the Phillies. But I mean, it's a part of it. Some of the parts, right? Like, she just desperately wants to put on the Phillies. That is like a comfort thing to her. It's the perfect pace now. It's like 2 hours and 15 minutes. You know, it's like a movie.
Yeah.
It is perfect. She was begging all winter because she's not a big football person. So, you know, football goes on forever. She's like, we're still playing football. And then I put the UFL on last weekend and this weekend. And she's just like, it's March, April. Where is baseball? The Phillies are not on today. But I mean, she loves Phillies baseball, like absolutely loves it. And I think it has to do because, one, she can enjoy that with me. Two, she can now enjoy it with her daughters because both of them like it, especially Natalie. But Haley's in on it too. She's like, are the Phillies playing today? And it's just it's a relaxing thing. She is a huge Phillies baseball fan, and I think obviously there's a correlation with the success. It helps when a team is good or has the possibility of being good. But I mean, she's, Kelly and I have been together for
nearly
20 years.
But you got to reel them in, and then they can deal with the disappointment and crushing, soul-crushing losses like you and I have been able to deal with. But
it's been a long time coming. Kelly and I have been together for, nearly 20 years, and she's seen the ups and downs I've had with the Phillies that entire time, including winning the World Series. So she was all on board throughout that run, and then the doldrums of the 2010s kind of took its toll on everyone. But I mean, right now, baseball has it right with her. The Phillies have it right with her. I can't say she's a big John Kruk fan. I don't know that she's a Kruk broadcast fan. She's not.
Oh, man, I love.
They're way better than the Blue Jays spring training broadcaster. She could not stand them.
There is nothing quite like listening to, and baseball gives this to you. Basketball gives this to you. Hockey can give this to you.
She doesn't like Jim Jackson. She's not a Jim Jackson.
Football doesn't give this to you on TV.
On TV, right. You're talking about regionalized broadcasts.
Regionalized broadcasts. And, man, in baseball, you get it. And when you're watching one that's not.
Right. Well,
so, like, and we see that I get MLB TV with our phone plan.
The audio feed, yeah.
And so, or even the TV one. Right, so audio, I can pick which one I want.
No, you're a T-Mobile person.
Yes, I am a T-Mobile person. So I get free MLB TV. So like when we go to the beach, I can pull it up. But like I might be watching like the Orioles broadcast or like. Now again, if it's like an interleague thing, okay, that's fine. I'll deal with that. If it's like, oh, they're playing the Mets. Oh gosh, I don't want to listen to the Mets broadcast. You know, like things like that. But
yeah,
if it's the Giants, that's the best because Johnny Miller is like still one of my favorites.
But. She likes Tom McCarthy. She's a big Tom McCarthy fan, and I said, I was like, well, you don't have to worry, John Kruk won't be on the calls for the Ruben. Ruben Amaro. She didn't have any comments yet about Ruben. I think she feels like John Kruk kind of meanders and just says like random stuff. And I was like, he's pure Philly. Like,
yeah. Well, he was at WrestleMania yesterday.
He's a Philly cult hero. Like, he's a big deal. She's not like, I can't listen to this.
Right,
guy.
Right.
She's just, he's not her favorite. She's a big T-Mac guy. So that's fun. But today was a milestone, though. Well, first of all, it's the 31st anniversary of The Sandlot being released, which I know
one of the best movies ever.
It is Kelly's probably favorite sports movie for sure. She's not a big sports movie person, but Sandlot is one of her all time favorites.
I love that movie.
Today was the first Phillies game that we could watch out on the patio.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
So I commemorated the occasion. Pure coincidence. I was kind of gathering some gifts here for Mother's Day coming up. But I wanted to mark the occasion of the Sandlot anniversary with us watching the first Phillies game out on the patio by giving her a shirt from Homage, which is the best shirt out there.
Great gear.
They're always running deals, so you can find. I think I sent you one.
Yeah, you did.
Hey,
yep.
Here's.
Yep.
And I got her a Phillies, officially licensed Philly shirt that says "You're Killing Me Smalls" on it. To just mark the milestone of Sandlot anniversary and first Phillies game watching it outside on the patio. It's a big moment in this household. So, but I mean, disappointed the Phillies lost today, but there's 153 games to go.
Yep. We'll be right
there. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
That's right. That's right.
And we've got the rest of the spring, hopefully nice weather and all summer long. And hopefully the Phillies can take advantage of the disadvantages now facing the Braves.
And it's April. So, and baseball, so weather can always throw a wrench in this. But are the Phillies home this Friday? I don't know if they are.
They debut the City Connect.
Okay,
which I would love to talk about. But
next Friday, the 19th, I'm going to be there and City Connect jerseys.
Yeah. So I would have loved to have been able to touch on that. I didn't think about it. We could have stopped the ranting that I didn't need to go off on so many different rants and how much I.
Well, if anything, we need to adjust your blood pressure. So
what I need is another pill. That's for sure. All right, Justin, anything to say before we get out of here? Sorry we didn't get to play that second game. I don't know what was going on with the television.
It was good. It was good. Hopefully,
I hope everyone had a good Easter last weekend. Spent time with friends and family if you were celebrating. And trying to think. Oh, happy 10th birthday to Jack Hill, celebrating tomorrow on Eclipse Day. I hope everyone has their glasses ready to check that out. Won't be back until like 2044 or something like that. In this, I know they happen every year somewhere around the globe. It's happening, but in the United States, and at least to the effect that it's going to be tomorrow, I don't think it happens for like 20 years or something like that.
Right. I saw And again, when you break it down, it makes sense, but it's more common in the Northern Hemisphere than the Southern Hemisphere. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Okay. I'll send you the video.
Okay. I don't disagree. I guess I never really thought about it.
I didn't either. It was one of those things where I was like, wait, what?
we'll have another show next week, which is episode 400. Again, I don't know if we're going to be able to do anything fun for it. We may be having our bracket winner from this year. We still haven't gotten Kevin Quimby on from last year yet, but we could possibly have the bracket winner from this year on it. If UConn wins, it will be my cousin Todd and his son Jameson. Jameson being the winner there, if UConn wins. If Purdue wins, it will be Wilson offensive line coach Brandon Doms, who has been not on this show, but on the Bulldog Hour many times before. So I would love to get Brandon on. And hey, if we can do that next week, episode 400, have Brandon on if Purdue wins, that'd be great. So maybe a guest next week for episode 400, celebrate the end of March Madness and the Bracket Challenge. I don't know if Justin and I will play a game or not. Maybe we will, just to try to get caught up. We'll play the one game we missed today and then talk with them the rest of the time. But we'll see. So if you got nothing else to say, we'll get out of here. Thanks for listening to episode 399 of the Joe Mazin J-Rap Show. We'll be back again next Sunday, April 14th at 6:30. Hope everyone has a safe and healthy week. Enjoy the eclipse tomorrow, and we'll be back again real soon.
That's a wrap on this episode of the Joe Maze and J-Rap Show, brought to you by Maze Sandwich Shop. Woo-hoo! You can watch each weekly episode live on Facebook, Periscope, or YouTube. Be sure to like, follow, or subscribe to the show on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. You can also rate and review us on many of these platforms as well. We'd love to hear from you. Send your email to the Maze Sandwich Shop inbox at joemazeandjraff@gmail.com. The Joe Maze and J-Raff Show is a part of the JMNJR Radio Network, home to other productions such as The Bulldog Hour, Tangents with Friends, and Nat Chats with Dad. Until next time.